there, everyone. I'm Emily.
And I'm Elt.
And for those of you who are paying attention, and for those of you, by the way, who aren't paying attention, what else are you doing with your time right now? I mean, like, literally, what else are you doing with your time right now? But for those of you who have been paying attention, last week I tried to do a one-woman version of Something Rotten because it is one of the best musicals ever, and I couldn't really pick which part I wanted to work on, so I just said, obviously all of them, but in the midst of rehearsing for Bottom's Gonna Be on Top, I might have sprained or broken my right ankle. I'm not really sure because we don't go out to doctors anymore.
And I tried to administer first aid, but it was a little bit difficult because I had warned her that this would happen when she tried to beat everybody in the chorus at the same time.
How can you do a proper performance of Something Rotten if you're not doing every character? Because it's just not the same with a limited small cast.
Do you understand that this has been the back and forth since last week, everyone? Yes or no? I hope yes. This is what's been going on. Me saying you can't be everybody at the same time, and Emily saying yes, you can.
And trying to prove her wrong. And I will, by the way. I will.
As soon as the ankle. Okay. But on that happy note, we actually have for you today something that's not just a musical, but it's also a film. So twofer for
a film musical.
Film musical. I don't know what a song that gets, because usually you sing whenever we do the musical one, so I know what that gets. But what we're doing today is The Greatest Showman. We will speak about it. Now, if we do have to tell you anything about this, then I don't even know what there can be to say, because when it came out, it was big and it was everywhere. So either you're someone...
And we literally live in the basement, so if you haven't heard about it, what does that say about you?
Oh, maybe they have their own private island. I just thought about that. Yeah. Okay. So for those of you who live on your own island, we'll tell you what it's about. And the short story is it's about, they're just trying to trace like P.T. Barnum from when he was a child and he had great imagination to when he teams up with Bailey, become the Barnum Bailey Circus. And they try to focus a lot on this idea of acceptance and tolerance that he saw all these quote unquote freaks, you know, the person who's too short, the bearded woman, this person, you know, the tattooed man, all these people, and he was going to make, like, these exhibits out of them, and it eventually grew to be his circus, and people, you know, kind of looked at them funny and weird and all this stuff, and they kind of embraced themselves, right? This is me, that this is who I am. Now, a lot of people did get upset when the film came out, because like, oh, it's not historically accurate, he exploited them, he this, that, whatever, which can all be true, but that doesn't make for a very fun, upbeat musical, so that could be why it wasn't included.
Also, just to point out, the historicity of most movies that are based on something historical, they're usually based on meaning, oh, this guy named John Smith ate at a McDonald's, and then it turns into a murder mystery at a McDonald's where John Smith finds out he has a twin brother, and also they wrote the Declaration of Independence. So they base it loosely off of, no one's telling you this is historically exactly who this person was. And if you're watching pretty much any movie, but especially a musical like this, to learn history, that's on you. That's not on the movie makers. That's on you for thinking that you're going to get a history lesson from watching an hour or 2 hour musical.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they do well with biopics. I mean, even seeing like bio musicals, like if you're watching the Carole King musicals, like things like that, beautiful, you could get it. But I think this one, they just wanted it to be fun and bright and colorful. And they got it. They got the fun and bright and colorful. I didn't see it exactly when everything came out. I saw it a little bit later, and I got why everybody was so excited with it, but I wasn't exactly feeling it, which we'll get to in a second, because for me, story is, there's got to be story, and I didn't feel like it. But anyways, back to the ratings. Violence, we gave it a 2. Language is a 1. Romance is a 2. And Emily, would you like to explain any of that?
I would love to. We'll start with language. There's just not really anything that's such a big deal. Damn, or hell, or things like that, but otherwise it's actually... Officially in the U.S., it's a PG rating, so language-wise, it's pretty good. Romance-wise, it's also pretty good. There's some kissing and couple-y romantic stuff, and tracing the romance of two of the characters is sort of a major story point. I think it's Zac Efron and Zendaya, and there's a little bit about the fact that it's interracial, but it's not. They're not stripping off each other's clothes. They're not even, like, making out. They're kissing. It's sweet. It's a, like, sweet romance. So that's why it's a 2. And violence also, it's not super violent, but there are a few scuffles and brawls. And at one point, the angry crowd burns down the circus. So that's, arson is violent. I would definitely categorize arson as violence. So it's a two, but ultimately, it's mostly a musical and gets that bright, colorful thing. So that's why those ratings are how we have them. And again, I think the PG rating of the movie reflects our own ratings pretty well.
Yeah, that's right. This one does have, I think they did get that kind of right with the ratings and stuff like that. It was, like, if it was aiming for family, it is pretty family-friendly as far as those things go. My biggest thing with it is I felt, and everyone was just so excited, and also with, like, Zac Efron's and Diet, people were so excited with that couple. People were so excited with so many things. But for me, I was watching and I was like, I don't see where the story is. I feel like this is a concert that's just going from song to song. Which is fine if that's what you want it to be, but for me, that's not what I was anticipating, and that's not what I wanted to be either. I wanted there to be a storyline to tie everything together, which even, I could see where it could, like, there is the potential for it. It's not like they didn't have all the pieces built in for it. They just didn't, they just kind of ignored it. I don't say ignored it, they just kind of didn't focus on it, which I would have liked to see much more of. And they're also, oh, like an interracial couple, like da-da-da, but it wasn't really anything. It was just like a moment of like, oh, I like you. Oh, you can't, you have to choose. Okay, I choose. Like, that was it. It didn't feel like there was any real, like, tension or emotion or anything. I didn't feel like anything was resonating in that regard. It was a concert.
Yeah, there were a lot of almost stories that they could have focused on. And maybe instead of trying to do a little bit on all of them, they should have just focused on two or three. But I do think, I saw it in theaters, and I think that's why it was so, one of the reasons why it was so great was because it was one of those movies that seeing it in theaters with the big, with the colors and the lights and some of the acrobatics actually seeming like you, like it would actually be in a circus because it's so large. Some of those acrobatic stunts that happen in the circus performances, it translated really well on a big screen. And I also think that, I'm trying to think of other movie musicals that have come out recently. And when I say recently, I mean like within the last 10 years. So there's like Miz and Mamma Mia, but those aren't...
They're like the last 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, but most of those were musicals on the stage that came to the screen.
Right.
But going the other way, the only other one that I can think of is La La Land, which said it was a musical, and then was only a musical in, like, the first act, and I have a lot of thoughts on La La Land, so maybe we can get to that someday.
Oh, Frozen. But Frozen, I think, started off, I mean, Frozen was, like, a Disney, only because they put Frozen on the stage now, so I guess that kind of counts. I mean, it was kind of a traditional Disney film, and then, because it was so big, they did put it on stage. Yeah.
Yeah. But well, I think this just, like, fulfilled what people wanted. They're thinking, oh, a movie musical. Here you go. It's a movie musical.
Yeah, and they hit that right, which is always nice to see because it does mean that there's still potential for it. And if I remember correctly, the team that wrote this is the same team that was behind Dear Evan Hansen. And because Dear Evan Hansen blew up so big, they were open to hearing their pitch for Greatest Showman. Because movie musicals don't usually make money. Like, they're not, people are not running to see that. So because you have this, like, star, these, like, really, this really hot writing team now, they were able to do Greatest Showman. And honestly, I thought also the casting worked pretty well. Hugh Jackman sounds way, way better in this than he did in Les Miserables. He should be, like, the film version of Les Miserables, just don't. Hugh Jackman is not, it's not his best. But here he sounded fantastic. It was nice to see Zac Efron back in a musical. I know after High School Musical, he was trying to, you know, establish himself kind of as, like, an adult. And then he was in a lot of these raunchy comedies. I don't remember that college one, the Seth Rogen college one, and like a few others like that. So seeing him just having what looks like he's having a good time, and he seemed to work well with Hugh Jackman. And I got my favorite, it's not, the song's not some of my favorite, but the whole production of it is that one barroom one where Hugh Jackman is coming to try to bring the Zac Efron character, he's trying to bring him in. He's a playwright and he's trying to, like, bring him into Barnum and Bailey. Well, it wasn't Barnum and Bailey, but he's trying to bring him onto the team. And he's trying to sell him on the whole idea. you know, come, you know, take a chance or whatever it is. I don't remember. It's Life on the Other Side. I don't remember what it is. Something like that. But the choreography there is fantastic with all the shot glasses and the bartender. And that was that bartender. Okay. He did a great job, but it's also like, I can't imagine being there and being able to watch it all unfold. Like you're part of it, but you also get to see it unfold. So you get that dual kind of, I don't say enjoyment of it, but almost like that. That is, if I would go back to watch a scene, that's the one I would go back to watch. If.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed the dancing. And I liked watching Michelle Williams dance. I think she's actually a ballerina or trained in ballet, which I didn't know before seeing this. And I was pretty impressed. I always like seeing actors who I don't know can sing or dance really well.
Right.
Because it just opens up my eyes to how talented they actually are.
Yeah. Well, we also forget that a lot of them start off with either singing or dancing or on the stage first before, like, their big moment will come on screen. So it is nice to show that they can do more, like you were saying. Yeah. And also, the music for this one was everywhere. I don't even want to...
Oh, my God.
When you talk about songs that are going to catch on and people listening to the soundtrack, like, this, that music is... And come on, just the greatest show. That song is just so energizing.
Yeah.
You can't... Anybody who listens to it, you can't not, like, want to move to it. Even if you don't like... You don't have to like the show or the film or anything like that. That so much of the music was just... They hit... They just got a lot of things right as far as, you know, if we're talking about production value, if we're talking about the actual performance of things, and something that's going to... They didn't... Not in terms of story, they didn't. I don't think they did, but music that people will be singing and listening to, you know, for long while to come. They got the catchy stuff.
The messaging. But, like, and just positive messaging of, tolerance, but just, I think it was less tolerance, which feels external, like getting tolerance from other people, and more internal of, like, embracing yourself and the beauty and the strength and talents.
Yeah. And the whole thing with the opera singer, where he's trying to push the opera singer because he wants to go, Barnum's like, I need to start doing more serious stuff. That was just so, like, Like, I guess if it happened, then you could put it in. But it seemed like kind of irrelevant. It didn't really do anything for the story one way or the other. Even though they're trying to show, like, oh, now he's away from his wife, and now he has to, hey, family's most important to me, and he has to return to that. And I don't think it added, or I think most people will probably not even remember. I shouldn't assume that, but I think a lot of people could forget that was even there, because that's how little it impacted the story, well, at least to me.
I didn't remember it until you mentioned it right now.
Oh, so there you go.
I think now that I'm remembering it, it was interesting to show that he, like some other people, sort of like Walt Disney, actually, start out doing this thing that they love, but then because critics say, oh, you're doing popular art, or it's not real art, they feel like they have to get into something more critic-pleasing. So it was interesting to show the kind of person he was, but if they had taken all of that out, maybe they could have focused on some of the other stories and the performers in the circus a little bit more.
Yeah. Like, oh, I need to be taken more seriously because what I'm doing is not... That would have been, that you could have even just done that. Like, oh, I need to be taken more seriously. And then someone saying, like, hey, what you're doing right now is great stuff or whatever. But I guess also maybe they didn't, then everyone was, oh, why are you glorifying him if he was, you know, if he took advantage of the people? You know, we already established it's not historically accurate as far as his character.
People can be many things. And people can do, not only can people do good things and they can do bad things that have nothing to do with each other. Sometimes you can do good things with not the best intentions.
Yeah.
We definitely know that you can do bad things with good intentions. That's why there's a phrase about that.
Yeah.
And sometimes things have unknown intentions, and sometimes people learn things as they go about what's right and what's wrong. We also have to be wary, I think, of saying, oh, we live in 2020, so we can say what was good or bad in the early 20th century, or late 19th century? Because the fact that he gave people who otherwise would have been totally cast aside in society any sort of platform for themselves is a big deal.
Yeah. Someone has to break the ice.
Yes. And then once someone does it, maybe not the way that would be the best way, but in a way, then we can say, okay, I see the direction you're headed in. Let's do it even better.
Yeah.
But I think it might actually be, if people... And people don't have to look at it this way. I think people can watch the movie, enjoy the music and dancing, and move on with their lives. But if you wanted to look at it this way and say, oh, this is a movie commenting on, look, they've taken a controversial figure, shown that people can make bad choices but redeem themselves or can learn from their mistakes, or that we can celebrate a part of a person without... Anyway, it's an important message to remember that people can be many things and can be multifaceted, and not to be so snapped to dismiss people.
Yeah, even to the point that if you don't want to celebrate P.T. Barnum, name him something else, and the story is the exact same, because that's how irrelevant, like, the historical accuracy is, and that's how irrelevant the story itself is, because you would just still be able to enjoy the music and the concert and see this general idea of a guy making a circus that has the quote unquote freaks in it. So
exactly.
Yeah, do that if it makes you happy.
You know, I have a thought. If I can't do something rotten as a one-woman show, maybe I could put on my own circus.
Wow, what a great idea.
Okay, I'll use the corner by the radiator for the lion taming, and then I'll use the corner by the stair. Okay, I'm going to map this out. You're okay with me bringing wild animals down here, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course you can bring wild animals down. I've been training a tiger in that third bedroom.
I thought it was your stomach growling.
Yeah, no. Tiger. White tiger. Okay. Oh, yeah.
It does make sense. All right. Well, I'm going to work on that. And thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you later.
Yeah, cheers, everyone. You have fun. You have fun, you people. Be good people. Oh My Word podcast is brought to you by the Pearl Clutching Basement Dwellers at Oh My Word. Follow us on Instagram for updates at Oh My Word podcast, or like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For full episode notes and detail, visit eltenenbaum.com. Music is by Tim Burke. Sound is by Gabriel Yaffe. See you next time.